Mr. Edward Meyer is president of Meyer Emco, a major East Coast chain of top-line high-fidelity audio salons. Since the most popular form for an amplifier unit today is in the receiver, we ask Mr. Meyer to tell us what the elements of a receiver are and how they came to be developed.
When high fidelity first started, it was necessary to separate the amplifier from the preamplifier in order to get rid of hum. The same was true of tuners. As solid state came about, that is, transistors, it became completely practical to put the preamplifier, the amplifier, and the tuner all on one chassis, and we call that unit a receiver.
Many people confuse the power amplifier and the preamplifier for the same piece of equipment. Meyer separated the two for us and explained their functions.
The function of a preamp is to take the sounds, the very weak sounds, from the phonograph, from the tuner, and various other sound-producing devices, and bring them up to a strength that can be amplified even more by the power amplifier. The sound goes into the preamplifier, and you can adjust it to suit your individual taste and to change its character to suit the room in which you're going to do your listening. Then the sound is sent on to the amplifier and receives a big power boost and into the speaker and then into the room and into your ears.
In shopping for an amplifier, Mr. Meyer stressed certain points to consider.
As a consumer, I would look at the specifications very, very carefully. First, it is not power alone that you should be looking for. You should be looking for power with low distortion. In high quality amplifiers, the distortion should be less than a tenth of a percent. That's 0.1%. In moderate quality amplifiers, less than 0.3, and in low cost amplifiers, less than 0.8.
He then went on to talk about amplifier power output.
The amount of power needed is a function of how loud you're going to play it, the size and type of furnishings in the home, and the efficiency, or more technically correct, the sensitivity of the speaker. The amount of power for most speakers in moderate price systems in most homes is about 35 to 40 watts. Any more than that, you will get only slight improvements in the overall sound quality.
Mr. Meyer then went on to explain why anything over 40 watts in power output provided only slight improvement in sound. He goes on to point out that one of the most misunderstood things about power output of an amplifier is the fact that the human ear does not hear on a linear basis.
A decibel is the smallest amount of increase or decrease in the sound level that the human ear can detect under ideal conditions. It is a very tiny change. 3 decibels, which is twice as much power, can quite easily be heard. However, it is not a very large change. To be twice as loud takes 10 times the power. A customer may feel that the difference between 100 and 200 watts is a great deal of difference. Actually, it's a rather small difference. It's only 3 decibels. Which is the minimum amount the human ear hears comfortably.
As far as matching a power amplifier to the speakers goes, Mr. Meyer gave us this basic guideline.
The speaker manufacturers have a set of specifications. In those specifications is the amount of power necessary to drive the speakers properly in the average living room or the average home. You take that power figure and match it to the power output rating of the power amplifier.
From his years of experience, Mr. Meyer went on to de-emphasize the importance of matching components.
Frankly, I think that the word matching is overworked. Any standard component electrically will match almost any other standard component. That is, almost any amplifier has the proper characteristics to drive almost any speaker.
When asked what was important in shopping for an amplifier, Mr. Meyer had this to say.
I think if I were buying an amplifier, I would go to a showroom where it is quiet and where you can listen to these amplifiers and listen from one to the other on the same piece of music and see which one is clearest. See which one allows you to hear the most music. See which one has this elusive quality in hi-fi we call transparency.
In shopping for a tuner, Mr. Meyer offered these guidelines.
In tuners, again, specifications tend to be somewhat difficult to use. The consumer should look for a high sensitivity rating, a low stereo distortion rating, and a low capture ratio. Again, I emphasize listening, not buying totally by specification. Use the specifications as a general guide, but listen.
Finally, we asked Mr. Meyer to comment on whether it was best to buy the power amp, preamp, and tuner separately, or to buy them as a receiver unit.
There are economic advantages to buying them all in one. For a moderate price stereo system, I think the consumer is well advised to buy a receiver. You get more for your money that way. It costs more money to build the preamp separate, the amp separate, and the tuner separate. However, when you get into the better or more powerful equipment, it becomes physically impossible to get all of this equipment on one chassis. So if you're buying moderate priced and low priced stereo systems, I think a receiver is your best buy. As the price climbs above the moderate level, then you should take a good look at the separates.